I got used to never touching that because I speak in, you know, various places around the world, and during my years in Zimbabwe, and people would put a glass of water, and you got no idea where it came from, and there was the odd time in the early days where I'd just take a big gulp, and then I thought, oh no, where did that come from? And it wasn't always a good thing, so I generally avoid it. I'm going to try to stand somewhere. Are we not up here yet? Are we coming? Please get my attention if I'm standing in your way and you can't see or something. I tend to wander around, and now that they give you these mics, it's perfect, so I tend to wander. Do you need me to reboot or something? Let me just re-plug it in. Sometimes it'll find it. Plug it in. There we go. Yeah, don't apologize for not having me for some time. I'm not usually too surprised when I'm asked to go speak. I'm a little surprised when I'm asked back. So I'm quite used to, you know, having long gaps between it's great to be here and to engage Edmiston Heights with MSC Canada. And I say that because I think probably through the whole history of Edmiston Heights, which I don't know much about, and probably before that, the people who were responsible for planting this church probably were engaged with MSC from the very beginning. And yet we find across the country, and it's a great challenge to stay engaged with our old constituent local churches, as we would call them. And maybe 450 across the country, and it's a big empty country, and it costs a lot of money to travel across. And there's lots of assemblies like Edmiston Heights that would think, oh yeah, we know all about MSC. The natural fact, it's been a long time since anybody actually told them what was going on. And you know, in your own personal life, your finances, your health, whatever it is, the rate of change is extraordinary, and the way things are done is completely different. Like the way you do your banking or the way you do anything is completely different than it was 10 years ago. The same kinds of pressures fall on an organization like us. Plus, on top of that, the workers in the field and the different countries around the world, those countries are changing rapidly. And the whole concept of missions and how we do missions, plus all these folks in the front rows here, they think about missions different than us with gray hair did. And the way things were done back then, and sort of what's a real missionary in the traditional way of reaching the world for Christ. It's all changing rapidly. So it's great to have this little refresher. And I'm going to try to be mindful of the clock, so I'm going to go quite quickly through the bit on MSC. And you may say, but, you can ask me over lunch, or maybe after lunch when we're back together, we can have a bit of a question and answer time. So try to just think about the things that I just touch upon, because I do want us to think a little bit about the Word and some of the realities of what the Lord would have us understand about our place in His plan to reach the world. So I'm going to go quickly. Apologize. Fasten your seatbelts. MSC, it was founded as Missionary Service Committee, and everybody asks what it stands for, and in reality, we changed the name legally in 1993, a long time ago, to MSC Canada. So next time somebody asks what MSC stands for, just say, well, what does DHL stand for, or A&W, or IBM, or anything else, because that's our name. And the reason for that was way back, and even in 93, we understood that in many parts of the world, the word missionary is not a positive term for various reasons. And so if you look through our website or our literature, you won't find the word missionary, I don't think. So what, how about mission workers? The word mission's okay, because it's used in many different contexts. But missionary in some parts of the world, obviously, it's illegal to be a missionary. It's illegal to be there with the purpose of trying to win people to Christ. Other parts of the world, it just has a colonial kind of implication to them that they don't like, and it's often not well received. So we don't use it. If somebody really presses us, we have a tagline, it's not our name, and we'll say, it stands for Mission and Service Connections, but you can forget that because we don't really use it much. History, we were founded back in 1940, over 80 years of service. Some of these people, maybe some of you know, I'm not going to go through and name them all for you, but I know some of those people would be known to you. And it would be great to look at them. If you're interested in seeing some of those old pictures, you who might remember those, I'll be happy to show them to you later. Something we're a little bit proud of is that we go way back to 1960s, early 60s, late 50s, and we had three admin staff handling a relatively small number of workers and a relatively small number of donations. And over the years, we've always been able to maintain three admin staff, mostly because of technology. We spent a lot of money on developing a very complicated database system that close to over $150,000 in the last 4 or 5 years has been spent on that, which allows us to do some very incredible things, actually, without increasing our staff. The low overhead that MSC has always been a high value to our workers and to our supporting local churches, and we try to maintain that as well. And I'm going to introduce the team to you. Sandra Barnett is our administrator, and this fine young lady, Andrew's mother, our chairman's mother, Edith Masuelo, she is our smiling face at the door that greets any visitors and on the phone and does other administrative duties. Savitri looks after our donations mostly. Jerry Bolton's a communications and IT guy, and he's from Peterborough. Some of you know him. I know his family, and he's been with us for 7 years. Great fit for us because his combination of communication skills to produce brochures and literature, keep our internet presence up to date, all that stuff combined with his in-house IT abilities has been great. It's me. And Kevin Shantz is our financial director. He's a CPA, and he looks after all of the financial accounting and all the boring stuff that makes my eyes glaze over. So that's sort of the core team that we have there. We have an extended team as well, of course, and Garrett is at the top of the list there as our director of the ACTS program, which is our shipping program, which ships containers to Africa, primarily in support of the five hospitals or so in Zambia, as well as Sakaji School and other facilities. We, on occasion, ship elsewhere in the world as the need arises. It's not as easy as it sounds because you have to have a lot of things in place to be able to receive those containers in various countries, but we try to make as good use of our facilities as we can. Ted Wendell, has anybody here been on a team workers team with Ted Wendell? A couple, four or five, good. You might want to consider that. I see some TW team workers literature on your rack out there, and Ted runs all of our teams as well as being director of the team workers. He's in charge of any short-term teams we have. Paul Houston is our security advisor. I have to speed up a little bit and not go into as much detail. We've developed a worker care team which looks after people in various parts of the world, and the couples are, as you see them, responsible to stay in touch with our workers in the field and just to monitor how they're doing, whether they're encouraged or discouraged. This was something that didn't exist a few years ago. I was 27 years under MSC as a missionary, and you know, we didn't hear from them in terms of, hey, how's it going? Is there something we can help you with? And so we've developed this aspect of our services. Part of that's because we believe it needs to happen. And part of it is because we have to. The government now requires us to be much more engaged with the workers and the projects that are receiving the funds through MSC. And I'll explain more about that in a minute. We have regional reps across the country, and these are folks who represent us. We try to get them to be able to engage with the local churches. And we're finding, though, that there aren't many places like Edmiston Heights. And as they try to say, hey, can we come along sometime and take a service and just bring you up to date, they're not exactly getting the warm, fuzzy response we'd like to get. And so it's a bit of a challenge to stay engaged and keep people up to date. So we do have this team of regional reps that attempt to do that. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Carl as well. We've had a lot of workers over the years. Some of these you might be people that you know. There's just some heroes there, Tiernest Wilson on the left and David Long on the right, names known to perhaps some of you older folks. I could tell you stories about some of these people. Some of you are aware of the Barham family, Ray Barham and their son Nigel, who's now running the move-in program. This is them way back in the 50s. That's Ray in the front. For those of anybody here know Patrick Long? Lots of you. That's Patrick there. Oops, sorry. That's this little boy sitting cross-legged here is Patrick. That's Patrick. This is, of course, his father, David Long. We could go through Doris Pittman and others in that picture. These are some of the historical workers and what real missionaries looked like. That's changing very quickly. As our office in Markham, we run a number of short-term programs, as I've already mentioned, and as Ron Hampton, one of our workers, likes to say, team workers is the construction team, and you can check them out through the website. We also run a program called E-Teams, which is more of a ministry team. So Ron likes to say that, you know, team workers build with wood, hay, and stubble, and E-Teams build with gold, silver, and precious jewels. So if you want to go and work manually, you can do that through team workers. If you'd like an opportunity to equip and encourage and evangelize out in the field, then E-Teams gives you a few days training and orientation, and then they go out into the marketplace and evangelize. Now, as a result of that strategy, they only go to English-speaking countries. So typically it's Jamaica, Ghana, Belize, Ireland, maybe another one, and so that you can be effective in ministering. This is our warehouse where Garrett works, and a tremendous number of volunteers come to help and pack up these containers. There's Garrett at work. Got the same sweater on? No, it's a different sweater. That'd be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Here's the guys doing what they do best, drinking coffee. Check us out on the website. We're on all the social media as well, Facebook and all the rest of it. And if you think you're too old to do Facebook, I used to have a picture I put up of my 97-year-old mother sitting at her computer doing Facebook. So if you go to the MSC Facebook page, you'll often see that one of the first people liking the post is my mother. So you're not too old, and you can check out as we update with items that come in from the field. By the way, a quick little word about that. 8 years ago, we tried to start ramping up our digital presence, our online presence, through all these social media and our website and emails and things like that. And really, in the last few years, we've started to pull it all back a little bit. And that's simply because it really can come back on our workers. You might remember I showed Ray Barham. I hadn't thought of this before, but Ray and Terry Barham were in Zambia for years, and then the Lord led them to Pakistan. And they went there for 4 or 5 years and served the Lord there. That couldn't happen today. You can't go to Zambia for a few years as a missionary and then decide to go to some place like Pakistan. Your cover is blown. They know exactly who you are and what you're doing, and you're not going to be getting into a lot of these countries. We have to be thinking 5, 10, 20 years ahead. And we can't be putting things up there that are really going to limit someone's ability down the road to be effective in serving the Lord in another country. So this whole idea of security and of gaining access, getting into a country, staying in a country. It's very easy to get kicked out. It's very easy to get thrown in jail. It's very easy to get killed. It's hard to get into a country and stay there for many years and have an effective ministry in many of the countries of the world now. So we're actually lowering our online presence in some of these areas. We run Worker Care, as I showed you. That's a whole new program that didn't exist. There's a retired workers fund. I tell you all this because you may be interested in supporting the Lord's people through these funds that you can go online and give to, or just send a check in and put that on. Worker Support Fund helps to fund workers who are, for various reasons, under-supported in the field that they're working in. Sometimes they come from a very small assembly that can't really support them financially very much. Sometimes they're living in a country where the cost of living is very high compared to other countries, and things like that. So we top up as much as we can. The Missionary Education Assistance Program helps missionary families with young children to educate them, because that's a very expensive part of the whole program here, is how do we educate our children, and even homeschooling curriculums, etc., and the enrollment and the exams and that all cost money, and it can be quite expensive. So that fund also is set aside to help those workers. We'll get worker visits at the office, and I love to tell you each one of their stories. We try to visit workers as much as we can in the field. It's obviously a challenge. It's a big world, but we get where we can as much as we can. This is a recent visit we had to Angola just a couple weeks ago, and as Andrew mentioned, Marilyn's back in Zambia again. She just got back from Angola, and she's back there again. We're on the Missionary Orientation Program. in conjunction with CMML in the States. There's a number of things that we work together jointly with Christian missions in many lands in the States. And this is a one-week program, the first week of June. And if any of you of any age believe the Lord may be calling you into some kind of cross-cultural work at some point, you can consider coming to this for a week. It's very intense, lots and lots of courses. We cover a lot of different subjects, and it's a week that gives you a real good base to go out to another culture on. We also are running a mini-mop, and this is our first one we tried in Alberta just last month. And we had 12 people come to that, and we had a great time of going through the basics from our big mop course, which is a week long. We did this in 2 days, hitting the things that we think are essential. Most of those were people heading to the field. In October 2020, a year from now, we'll be running our second Requip, which was a bit of an experiment for our 75th anniversary. And we've decided to try to repeat it every 5 years. It's held at Guelph Bible Conference grounds, and we have as many of our overseas workers as possible come home and give them 3 or 4 days together. First of all, it's really weird, you know, like when I was a missionary, and our picture was in the handbook in Zimbabwe, and we'd be home talking to people, and they would come up and say, you know, I'm really good friends, or my son is this missionary in Peru. You must know him. And I'm like, well, we actually don't ever get to hang out. I mean, there isn't this place where all the MSC missionaries hang around having coffee and chatting. We never meet them. We're overseas, and they're overseas in another part of the world, and we rarely, maybe at missions conferences or something. And I hardly knew any of the people in the book. And yet there was this sort of assumption that maybe we all know each other. And we didn't, so we thought we should fix that. So we gave people lots of notice and invited them all to come home, organized their furlough in such a way, and then we had a very much a more of a professional development kind of conference where we had experts come in on cross-cultural adaptation or on burnout and depression, and things like that that are real issues for some of our workers in remote places. And try to give them time together as well to be encouraged with each other. So that's something we're running again. You might wish to pray.
We get asked all the time, so how does MSC work? What's the process? The process begins with God. First and most importantly, it is God who calls new mission workers to full-time service. We believe He confirms this call through their local church, who then send the worker through a commissioning process we call commendation. The local church is the sending agency for their mission workers, and they provide ministry-specific direction and spiritual oversight to them. All of the ministry that mission workers engage in is an extension of their sending church's ministry and outreach around the world. So where does MSC fit into this? MSC serves and supports both the sending local church and their outgoing workers with mission-specific expertise. We come alongside local churches with legal and logistical support so that they can effectively serve their workers outside of Canada. Similarly, we come alongside mission workers with a variety of programs designed to prepare them for the mission field and encourage them once they get there. Examples include our missionary orientation program, children's education funding, container shipping, and short-term team support. Let's put it all together. God calls and leads the workers, the local church sends and supervises the workers, and MSC serves and supports both the workers and the local church. That's how it works.
So it's a rather unique model in the missions world. There aren't other organizations really doing it this way. We don't send workers. We don't recruit workers. We don't recruit local churches. We just look for people who are called of God and whose sending assembly will confirm that call and then enlist our help with the mission-specific area of things. And that includes not just legal things such as visas and moving money and those kinds of things, but also some of the more important things like strategy and philosophy of mission. Sometimes people are saying, I'm called to go here. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to plant churches. Okay, good. Well, how are you going to do it? How are you going to know when you're on the right track? How are you going to know when it's over? What is your strategy to make this sustainable? You know, ownership, sustainability, succession, these are important values that need to be built into any ministry, whether it's in Canada or overseas, right from the beginning. And there's lots and lots of things around the world that everything works as long as the missionary's there doing the work and funding it. The missionary comes home, it's over. And so we try to prevent those kinds of things. And sometimes it's just a few minutes of thinking these things through and making a plan and a strategy of doing things only at a level that the nationals will be able to maintain whether you're there or not, because often things get ramped up a little too high and they never could be maintained by them with the resources available. Just thinking these things through, a lot of workers traditionally have not, and so we've seen things sort of fall apart once the worker comes back off the field. We're doing more and more of those things. It's good to think of the two rails that MSC runs on, these two big ideas that are unique to us and define who we always have been since we first came. The first is local church-driven missions, and the second is committed to God's supply. So the local church sends the worker and looks after the spiritual side of the worker's life and ministry. We come along and help with the mission-specific stuff. The second idea, the one of committed to God's supply, is that we don't aggressively fundraise. We don't encourage our workers to aggressively fundraise. In other words, to have a target and look for pledge cards and commitments and sign people up until they're guaranteed 80% of their target, which is typically how missions are done. We're not saying that's wrong. We're just saying that's not who we are. And so we work best with workers who feel very convinced in their hearts that God has called them. And the dynamic that's going on there is that they're obeying rather than deciding. It's a good thing to decide to serve the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to come next Saturday and paint the Sunday school room or whatever, I'm sure they'll be delighted that you've chosen to serve the Lord. But it's a little bit different than knowing in your heart you've been called by God and you have to obey. And MSC's model works really well, the best, with people who are convinced they're going out in obedience to the call of God. And one of the reasons for that is that if you've been called by God, you better go. And you better not say, well, I'll go when I have this much money guaranteed. We also believe that the Lord leads and guides through finances. That if you actually have this target, which, where did that come from? Well, I don't know, except it probably is based on the idea that I'm going to live in this certain community in this certain kind of accommodations, drive this certain kind of vehicle, that's how you would fix a budget like that. But maybe the Lord wants you to live a little more indigenously. Maybe he wants you to live in a rougher part of town. Maybe he wants you to take public transportation. I don't know. I don't know that. So sometimes he guides us through the finances, and we end up. And so sometimes the questions need to be asked, and this is part of MSC's role. Are you prepared to go there even if the Lord is asking you to live at this level? If he's asking you to live as the nationals do, would you still be prepared to go? And then that helps them think through the call of God in their life. And so they go out sometimes without understanding whether they're going to have enough support or not. We know a little bit about that, and some of the people who have been in the Lord's work know about that as well. But the Lord confirms his call month by month as he supplies our needs. I just want to say MST operates that way ourselves, in that we do not deduct anything from the gifts we handle. We do not charge anything for our services. We look to the Lord's people, the people who use MST services, like a co-op, to do their share and meet their responsibilities to keep it going. One of the ways to think about how things work is in two frequencies. There's a spiritual frequency. And spiritually, who needs MSC? You don't need MSC at all, just your Bible and the Lord and off you go. But we live in a world where there's a lot of legal implications and a lot of necessities, and so MSC becomes the legal channel as well. And our workers around the world legally are our charitable workers doing our charitable activity. Spiritually, they're been sent out by the local church as an extension of the local church's ministry. But legally, they're our workers doing our work. A few facts before we move on. We have 250 workers in 40 countries. We serve about 300 in Canada. We serve about 500 local churches across the country. Last year, we processed over 20,000 donations worth about $13 million. Every year for the last 7 years, we've sent out anywhere between 12 and 23 new overseas workers. We do not deduct or charge for our services. We spend less than 5% on administration, and we need to be spending somewhere around 8%. So one of the big values, we have people all the time come and say, you know what I love about MSC? I love the fact that you people do all this for less than 5%. And that's, of course, 5% compared to donations. We don't even deduct the 5%. And that's been a high value, MSC, low overhead, low cost, simplicity. But we can't do that anymore. And just as you know, if you want to coach peewee hockey or something, you've got to criminal checks and take courses and do all kinds of things to do that. Similarly, the regulations that are upon MSC are growing all the time. And one of the things you might be interested in is 87,500 charities in Canada, 87,000 plus. And only 5,000 of them send funds outside of Canada. And that's what CRA really cares about. They're really monitoring the money that's coming in tax-free to charities, big tax benefits to the donors. And then that tax-free money now is going out of the country. What's it going to do? And many of it's coming into charities that have connections in nasty parts of the world, and they want to make sure it's not funding a terrorist camp or whatever. And so the regulations and requirements of charities to provide direction and control and be able to trace each dollar all the way through to the end are higher. So there was a big seminar by Bloomberg Charity Law, one of the big firms that's a charity law experts, just 2 weeks ago. And Kevin, our financial director, was there, and the speaker said, today, he does not believe any charity that sends funds out of the country can comply with CRA for less than 10%. Because the requirements of CRA just require that kind of supervision. So that got our attention, and then we discovered that a fairly large charity was closed down last year because they had not spent enough on admin. So CRA determined that they could not possibly have provided adequate supervision of these funds. And so we have to be thinking about that, because the great race to the bottom mentality that if we sort of spend 5%, 4% is better is not always true, because along with that extra admin spending comes things like encouragement to workers and good accountability of the funds that do get sent over. And so we get caught in this tension between a high level of accountability and knowing where the money's going and knowing that it's actually being used for what it was given for and all those things that MSC has a reputation for, and keeping down administration costs. So you can see a little bit. And so we're trying to inform people a little more. Our big slogan is information, not solicitation. We don't ask for money, but we do want people to be informed, especially our partners in the work, which Edmondson certainly is. I was out there looking at the board, and almost all of those pictures are people that we serve. And even some of the ones with other organizations were commended through MSC and seconded or attached to a team with another organization, and we serve them on a regular basis. And so we're very much partners in the work with you, and it's a pleasure for us to be able to do so. We want you to be aware of the things. The actual donations that people give to us for admin is actually only about 3% compared to donations. I need to move along. I'm just going to skip the next part quickly. And I want to think a little bit about this idea of being sent. And the idea of sentness, I'm not sure that's actually a word, sentness, but that's the word I'm going to use this morning. This sense that we as believers should have of the fact that when we come to Christ, when we have His Spirit, when we are, as we would say, in God's program, that program is one of sentness. We go through scriptures, and I won't take the time to read them all, but we see that the church was sent. We see Philip was sent out to meet the eunuch. We see that the church refused to follow the Great Commission as it had been given in Matthew 28, but also in the first chapter of Acts. And after 8 or 10 years, the persecution arose, which forced them to go out, and they were scattered by persecution. And as we go through, and I'm going quickly, you don't have time to read it all, we see this sending in Acts 1, that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We see that the Holy Spirit was sent. The Lord Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, he says the Father will send the Holy Spirit. John 16, unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Galatians 4, because of you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. We see that Jesus, of course, was sent, and we see that the disciples were sent. As Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This is a major theme throughout all scriptures, whether we look at the prophets or Moses or whoever, whatever story we look, we say, oh yeah, there's this constant sending going on. He sent them out two by two, you know that story. And he says, go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. By the way, he didn't say there's wolves out there, don't go. Right? He said, go, I'm sending you. And he said, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we could unpack that session a little bit as we talk about security for our workers in the field. We don't call it security anymore. We call it risk management. And that's not just a recent buzzword. The reason we do that is we don't know if God wants our workers to be safe and secure. Safety and security are not the goals. The goal is to go and reach people for Christ. And if it puts us in danger, well, that's why you need to know you're called of God if you're going to go into a dangerous place. And we want more and more people going into more and more dangerous places. So safety and security are not the goals. Risk management's the goal. Why? Because we look at it and say, what are the risks? How can we easily take a risk from an 8 out of 10 to a 2 out of 10? What are the quick, cheap, and easy things we can do that will lower the risk? And in many cases, there are quick, cheap, and easy things. Things we trust God completely, but we still do up our seatbelts. We trust God with our children, but we still put medicines out of the reach. We still do things that are quick, cheap, and easy that lower the risk. And these are the things that we help our workers process through. Just as the Lord did, because if we went on to look at that passage, we'll see that he says, you know, if you're persecuted in a city, flee that city. Run away. You ever notice that? Where it says run away. And he says, you know, he gives them a lot of good risk management advice about being wise and harmless, etc. Anyway, we'll go on. I've probably convinced you that the theme of sending is constant from God to the Lord's people. It's what he's doing all the time. And the prophets were sent back in the Old Testament. And sentence is assumed. You know this great passage on everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And even this great little passage there begins with the assumption that sending is where it all starts. And so we think about this idea of the sending God, the technical term that theologians use is missio dei. And missio just means to send. That's all it means. And the word mission just means to send. That's all it means. Whenever you see that M-I-S-S or M-I-T-T in a word, it usually, the root there is to send. We're sent into the world. God the Father sent the Son. That's the language that the Bible uses. And if you've grown up in this place, you've heard it all your life. Yeah, God sent the Son. No, think about that. Son didn't decide to come. Yeah, it was ascending, and that word is used over and over again. And God the Father and the Son sent the Spirit. Again, words used intentionally. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit send the church. We can't get away from that. It's what it's all about. It's what the program is that we have signed up for, to use the vernacular. And all of this sent into the world. Father sent the Son sent the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sent the church to go out. Something's happened in the last 20, 30 years. Maybe it happened more than that, I don't know, in different ways. But in many places there's been this focus much more inward, introspective, and church growth and church development and church programs, and all of which is good, has dominated. And maybe the sending aspect has become like secondary. What's really important is that we grow the church, What's really important is that in our meetings and our plannings and our leadership, that we somehow get this all better, bigger, more mature. We want people to grow. We want people to come in. Sure we do. But the Bible never talks over and over and over about get them in the door, fill up the building. This is not the primary mission of the church. Primary mission of the church is to be part of this program of God's sending into the world. And as we come together as the local church, it should look a little more like this. Father sent the Son sent the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit send the church. The church gathers together, and it comes together, why? To give glory to God, to worship Him, as we did this morning. That's why we come together, to return that glory to Him, and to reach out, to go out into the world. And it's not somehow, we're not the end user. We're not the repository. All this sending is all coming to us. No, no, no. We're receiving this so that we can also send out into the world. And it's not about geography at all. On a rapidly growing scale, which I'm excited about, there's as much mission developing within the Canadian border as there is overseas. And this is important because I grew up in an era, and many of you who share my hair color also grew up in an era where the whole idea of a real missionary was you got on a plane or in a boat, when I was very young, and off you went to another country because we didn't really need it here so much. But we, of course, know that that's not true. We cannot make a case that the need in most of the areas where our workers go is greater than the need within 2 kilometer circle of this building. And so it's drastically changing. We have recent arrivals. We have a need to do a really good job with our indigenous people. We have a long history, and Christendom has a long history of doing a very bad job. We have the province of Quebec, which is less evangelized now than France. We have half a dozen missionaries in France for many years, and a very strong church developing there, doing very well. And it's not about geography at all. Mission is the movement of God to the world. That's what mission is. God to the world. The church is the primary instrument for that mission. To participate in the sending by God is to participate in the movement of God's love towards people. There's many ways to do that. Many ways. But it's not optional. Now, we have this whole, what does sentness look like? We have this whole idea, well, I'm not really the street corner evangelist kind of person. I'm not. And most of you probably aren't either. It seems to be a unique calling and gifting to certain people. And sometimes we think in this binary world, like, oh, I can't do that, so I can't do anything. Or that's the real thing, and I'll try to do a little bit, but no. That's not how it should be at all. If we belong to Christ, and Christ is in me, and His Spirit is in me, and His Spirit, which produces many good things, and I'm taking that now into situations, school, work, neighborhood, the arena, wherever I'm going, I'm taking that in. I am the vehicle, taking the Holy Spirit into that cafeteria table, that arena dressing room, whatever, right there. Spirit of God is right there in that circumstance. And I have gone and taken Him in there. And He can work. Part of it is that we're just not clued into that at all. We didn't get on a plane. We just got in our car and drove to the rink or to the school or to the office or wherever it is. We just drove down to the community center. Our kids are doing skating lessons and we're talking to the moms. But there it is. The Holy Spirit of God there. The kingdom of God is nigh thee. Right there. It's right here. These unsaved people all around. Pull out tracks? Probably not. Not in this day and age. That's probably not the most effective way. But we have the ability to bring in. You may be called to do doors and knock on doors. And that's very effective. Although it's becoming less of a deal because people don't, very much intrusive now at the door. Very, very few door-to-door salesmen. Very, very, very little of that. But it's effective in some places. Maybe in Peterborough. Might look like that. Maybe the Lord's calling you to Borneo or the jungles of the Amazon. It's possible. They all need to be reached. But it's not necessarily about geography, and it's not necessarily about doing something that you're not gifted, called, or skilled to do. That's the idea we get in our heads sometimes, isn't it? That if I'm going to sign up and get into this scent and this stream, that somehow I'm going to have to do something that I just can't do. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do something we're not skilled to do. But it's more about communicating in a way we already communicate in. We're already talking to people. And it's not about somehow having to create some new way of reaching and communicating. And it's not necessarily about being weird. And sometimes we think that's what it means as well. But I find a lot of people are really preoccupied with what they can't do. And some of you are probably sitting there already, right now, thinking, I can't do that. And you're thinking about the people you know who are wonderful at sharing the gospel with somebody. You just walk up to them and say, oh, my friend, if you died tonight, do you know where you're going? I mean, they can do that. I can't do that. So I get overwhelmed. I guess I could do it, but I've never felt like it was my gift. People who can do that, have you noticed how it just flows out of them? People who are evangelists like that, it's just they look at me and they don't understand why I don't do that to everybody I run across. But it never occurs to me sometimes. So we have focused on the things we can't do, and we don't think about the things that we can do. And we think about where we're going to be going, physically going today, this afternoon, this week, coming up. Where are we going? How can we be part of God's program of sending? How can we consciously show people what God is like? You know, love in a era of hatred and offense and outrage and all the rest of what we live in, you don't see a lot of love out there. Joy, I see anger, I see distress, I see anxiety, I see depression all around me. I don't see joy. How much joy did you run across out there in the world this week? But you're carrying the Spirit of God with you. You're in a situation where you can actually demonstrate love, joy. This is an age of conflict, isn't it? That's one thing that the social media and internet in general has demonstrated, that it was all wonderful for a couple of years, and then suddenly this just becomes a platform for conflict and outrage and all the other things that dominate. Peace, we don't run into a lot. Patience, kindness, gentleness. An act of kindness now, and you're going to have something on the Facebook about this incredible thing somebody did, which most of us would think is pretty normal human kindness. We're going somewhere this week. You're all going somewhere. We're going lots of different places. I don't know where, but you're going lots of places. You have the Spirit of God in you if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're taking him into those places. Do you have to pull out gospel tracts? Not necessarily. Do you have to give them a 3-minute how to be saved every time you see them? Probably not. But if you are consciously understanding, you're not just choosing to go somewhere, but you're part of this program of God to send his love and joy and peace and goodness and grace into the world in a way that will make them thirsty to know, in a way that will have them say, how come you do that? Why are you like that? And we just tell them. We need to be ready to give an answer, don't we? But that's the best advice we see in Scripture, I think, about for the average Christian of sharing our faith. The problem is that it assumes that we have been behaving in such a way that people are going to ask us, doesn't it? It assumes that somehow our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness has just been flowing out so much that they come along and say, hey, what's up with you? How come you're like that? How come you're not like everybody else? And then we have an answer. Well, actually, it's because God's in my life. Are you interested in him? No, but yet you like what you see. What's the problem? So this is something that when we think of real missionaries and our own lives, we sometimes miss. I think I'm going to have to wrap it up now. I hope these things stay with you. What is mission? Mission is not binary. You're a missionary or not. We're all sent. We can't get away from it. who we are. It's what the church is. It's what believers in Christ all have to be. It's not a decision. We are. We just have to figure out how well we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we can do it better. Let's pray. Father, we pray that wherever our feet may take us this week, we might have this sense that you have sent us there. And although perhaps we think we've chosen to go to school or work or be at the arena or wherever we might be, we pray that you would fill us with this sense that we are taking you into that situation. We are injecting into that situation the presence of the Holy God, and that somehow you would use us to demonstrate your love and your peace and your kindness to a world that is lost in misery and hatred and conflict, and that we might be able to live in such a way that people around us will ask us. We thank you for those you have sent to faraway places who have given up jobs and homes and families to serve you there, and we ask your special blessing on them this morning. Pray that you would meet their needs and bless their efforts. But we also pray that we will go away much more convinced and convicted of our need to see ourselves as sent as well. We ask this for your glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.